Statistics show that in the U.S., 50% of all marriages will end in either divorce or separation.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to the Raw Matrimony Podcast. My name is Jason Watson.
And I'm Shatima Watson, and we are the founders of Raw Matrimony, where our mission is to cultivate real, active, and whole marriages centered in Christ. We are
saving our society one marriage at a time.
The topic that we're discussing today is no other than sex. I feel like it's
my favorite.
I'm sure that's the case for every man. Well, most men. But I feel like it's not really discussed a lot in the church. And today we're going to like delve into like why that is possibly. And also our views about it. And yeah. So what do you think about it, Jason?
I think that it's great, actually. But I definitely agree. It's, you know, oftentimes a taboo when it comes to it, especially in the Christian world. You know, it's not really discussed much, and also, you know, it's not really an open topic. And it seems, you know, well, just from my perspective, it seems to be a sometimes a sore spot in marriages, you know, and it could be actually more helpful if it is discussed more, and if it could be, you know, more out in the open, and, you know, people could be more open and honest and just more raw about about the subject overall. I feel like it could be more helpful, you know, instead of feeling or seeing it as a taboo subject. You know, we need to be more open about it and more honest about it, you know, and they can actually help us in that area, you know, because that's one of the most important areas of intimacy, well, physical intimacy, you know, in a marriage.
I agree. And I feel like talking about it amongst other believers, because being real, you know, non-believers talk about it all day long. It's not a problem, you know, and they share stories, talk about, you know, the good, the bad, the ups and the downs. But when it comes to believers, we just don't talk about it. And I feel like a lot of issues that go on between a lot of husband and wives in the bedroom, of course, you know, you're supposed to keep your bedroom stuff in the bedroom. But I don't think there's anything wrong with having a few trusted believer friends where you can discuss just like the fun aspects of it. And also maybe even some issues, because you never know who might be dealing or have dealt with those same issues and how they've overcome them. But for some reason, a lot of people don't like to talk about it because you're looked at as, I guess, dirty, or not dirty, but I mean, because, you know, husbands and wives, you're supposed to have sex. But a lot of people don't talk about it because they feel like, you know, like, no, you're not supposed to bring that up. But I don't think there's anything wrong with talking about it.
Yeah, I guess it's viewed as a not dirty, but unholy, or, you know, it's a more intimate and private, you know, thing. Of course, it needs to have a certain level of intimacy. You don't want to share that with everybody, but it needs to be some close people that you can share with, you know, and gain experience, and gain knowledge, you know, or even share any type of concerns and, you know, things of that nature. Just, you know, some people that you can share that, and just gain more insight as far as that goes, or express, you know, maybe even vent, you know. Definitely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would say, I know, like, for me and, like, my sister and my friends, we talk about sex openly. I don't know how it is for guys, but we talk about sex openly. But it's amongst us, like, to be honest, we can tell each other our deepest, darkest secrets for the most part. for women, I think it's easier to do. And you can elaborate, babe, if you feel like, for guys, if y'all talk about that stuff, you know, and like, what's the difference? Or, you know, if y'all even talk about it at all.
Not, you say you share deepest, darkest secrets, but no. Well, I mean, you know, we don't share on that level. You know, I mean, I guess when we're single, you know, it's different. But, you know, now that we're married, of course, we're not going to go into detail or, you know, anything like that about our wives. And, you know, it's just a different, the conversation is different, you know, as amongst, you know, my married friends.
Yeah, I guess it's just different for women. We're more open about certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I have a question. So, do you feel like marriage is, like, that's one of the sure ways of combating struggling marriages is to get them to talk more about their sex lives? Like, even in counseling, not even saying with just anybody, but even maybe in counseling, even amongst each other. Because, believe it or not, a lot of couples sometimes don't really go into depth about if they're not satisfied with their sex life or if they want something different, something more. So do you think that's a way to combat a struggling marriage?
Yeah, definitely. You know, because if you're not satisfied in the area, you definitely need to talk, you know, speak up about it. Because, I mean, if you don't, it's just going to lead to frustration. The frustration is going to build and that can open the door to other stuff. So if you have any type of feelings or anything that you want or any type of feelings, you know, I think that it's best to voice it and, you know, to share. Definitely, most definitely, I do suggest to pray about it first, you know, because, you know, it may help in, as far as the delivery because, you know, Yeah, I mean, if it's something that you're frustrated about, it may come out in a negative way. But if you pray about it first, you know, the delivery might and the approach might be different. So, you know, you're able to get your point across better and it's actually a more fulfilling, you know, conversation.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's important, too, to, like, look at some scriptural references. Because, you know, just as women, sometimes we tend to, I would say subconsciously, not always subconsciously, but a lot of times it's subconscious. We tend to use sex as like a weapon against our spouse or a form of punishment.
Who does
or a form
that?
Of punishment. Like, you know, it's like, okay, if you piss me off, you know, if you piss me off, then you already know what that means. None for you.
I'm
for the next
get
few
it
days.
Regardless.
Okay, that sounds a little.
You know what I'm talking about.
Anyway, so sometimes, you know, we use that against our spouse. But if we refer to 1 Corinthians 7:5, it says, do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time. So I know, like, this is one of the things that we talk about, you know, in our book, our 21-day devotional, Marriage, Roar in the Spirit. One of the days is, you know, focusing on sex. And we suggest at the beginning of the book to go on some type of fast as a couple. And so a lot of times I think that a fast, a sex fast is great for couples. It really helped us, right?
Yeah. I can agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really helped us.
From a male perspective, I could definitely agree that the sex fast was, you know, beneficial to our marriage and to our intimacy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, help take it to another level.
Yep. And so the B clause of that verse 5 is that, you know, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And I thought that was like so powerful, coming back again so that Satan may not tempt you. So we already know that sex is, even though it's not really talked about a whole lot, it's a really a big area. It's an important area, so much so that Satan knows that's the area. That's one of the first areas that he attacks, you know, in husbands and wives. That's how important sex is. That's why we shouldn't ignore it. That's why we need to stop ignoring it. We need to shine more light on it, especially when you marry, like, you know, with in the church, like, we need to celebrate being able to be intimate with our partners. I think that's a beautiful thing, you know, inside of
it is.
Yeah, inside of the institution of marriage. And so the enemy, he knows that that's the area where if he can dishevel that area, then he can break down marriages left and right. And that's what's happening today, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. While we're on the topic of sex, I just wanted to throw this out there, because it's very, well, I feel like it plays a huge part in this also, the whole topic. I wanted to suggest to the men to abstain from watching pornography, because that could definitely ruin your intimacy with your wife, because you know, it taints the way that you look at women. So I mean, you watch this and you see this, men were very visual and we're very creative, you know, within our minds, you know, so we expect our wives to do these things, and you know, sometimes you can't even get off or you can't get excited, you know, with your wife or your spouse or whoever because of what you're used to viewing. And your wife, she's not a porn star. I mean, she may do some certain things or whatever, but it's not fair to project that image that you have in your head onto your wife, you know, for somebody that's getting paid to commit an act or whatever, you know, and it's just not right. You know, it taints the image of women and expectations, you know, it just creates an unrealistic, you know, atmosphere, and it's very toxic.
I agree. So that, I feel like that was a great point. So just speaking from your experience as a man, do you feel like at one point you were kind of like wrapped up in that?
Not really. I mean, I guess to a certain extent, but I really feel like more so, I guess what the biggest part that hurt me the most, more so than the porn thing, was just actually having sexual relations outside of marriage. You know, so being tied up in that and those experiences, you know, and carrying those experiences into a new relationship, you know, into a marriage, I think that hurts more. You know, having that history, I think that was more hurtful to me or more detrimental than the porn thing. You know, and every man is different. You know, for some men, it might, the porn might be more, you know, carry more of a weight or have more of an effect. But for me, it didn't. It was the sexual relations before marriage, the fornication that, you know, weighed more for me than the porn.
That was an interesting point that you made. So when you say like it hurt, in what sense do you mean like it hurt? Like it hurt your I guess like your integrity as a husband, or what you mean?
Well, I meant like it was just when I say it hurt, I guess I'd say just more, it carried more weight. It was more detrimental than the porn. Maybe hurt wasn't the right word, but you know, it was just more detrimental, meaning more, it had more of a negative effect on me than the porn thing, because, you know, it was just different.
My question is,
you know, you can't erase that stuff. It doesn't just go away.
Yeah, so it had a negative effect on you. How? Like, how?
My image of women. You know, my views of women, especially, you know, from a sexual perspective.
Wow, that's... I think that's, you know, a very good point to share, especially with other men. And because I feel like that's just being real. That's just being honest about it. A lot of people try to be like, well, no, it doesn't... not even just porn, but even like premarital sex, fornication. Mm-hmm. People think that, you know, well, once I get married, I can just repent and it'll be okay. Yes, God, he, you know, his word says that he remembers our sins no more, you know, as far as the east is from the west. But there's still, you know, there's always consequences for our actions. Even if it may, you know, present itself in a psychological way, or even in you know, an emotional way. I think that when we do stuff like that, it's not just a, you know, cut and dry. Okay, I'm not doing it anymore, so that's it. Every action, you know, has a reaction.
Yeah, so, yeah, definitely. You know, especially if you condition yourself to think a certain way or to act a certain way. You know, you have to, especially if it's for a long period of time, you have to recondition your mind, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
And I think that's even the case for women, too, because for women, you know, when we sleep with guys before we get married, for everybody, you know, there's you create a soul tie there. So then you have to work to, even if you're not really thinking about it, you got to, like, release those soul ties. And that's the case for women, too. And sometimes more so with women, because women, you know, we're more emotional than men. So you have to work on not having, you just got to, you know, cut those emotional ties, cut those soul ties. And that's why, you know, it's just best to wait until you're married, which, you know, that's easier said than done. And a lot of times that's not the case. So it's like, how do you do, what do you do, you know, how do you do it? How do you go into a marriage if you both are already, you know, already have been engaging in, you know, sex and stuff, not even just with each other, but other people? So I guess the question now is, like, you know, how do you do that? How do you navigate a new marriage? What do you think about that?
It takes time. You know, it takes time because, yeah, it definitely takes time. And it also depends on how, you know, how long you waited to jump into the new relationship. You know, if it's like right behind another relationship, then, you know, of course it's going to take even longer, you know, to grow together. And, you know, because you still have to let those things go, and the emotions and the feelings and the everything, the memories, mm-hmm. all that stuff, you know, you have to let that stuff go and, you know,
yeah,
work towards moving forward.
Definitely. Definitely. It's a slippery slope. But, you know, I feel like with God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
When you have that three-strand, when you develop that three-stranded cord, all things are possible. You can have a thriving sex life. You can be happy. And sex doesn't have to be boring. Sex doesn't have to be mundane.
Mm-hmm.
You can try different things.
It takes communication. Definitely mm-hmm. takes communication. You know,
it does.
Mm-hmm. Because and also a lack of selfishness, because you have to, as the verse said, you know, I believe the verse alluded to selfishness, because it said that your body is not your own. So it speaks mm-hmm. of making yourself available to your husband or your wife, you know. So, and that means even when you don't feel like it, you know, because, you know, their needs, you have to put their needs above your own. And yeah. also, you know, make the effort to satisfy them. You know, of course, if it's not something that you're comfortable doing, you know, you shouldn't be forced to do that. And that should be something understandable. You know, it shouldn't be a source of frustration. Well, let me not say it shouldn't be a source of frustration, but it should be a point of understanding if it comes to the point of somebody doing something that they're not comfortable doing, something that's painful, or, you know, something that's just not enjoyable for them. What do you think from a woman's perspective, as far as it goes, you know, as far as that goes, is, you know, sacrificing and putting the needs of your husband first?
Well, as far as from a standpoint of a woman, and I can't speak for all women, but I know that it can sometimes be a little exhausting. And I say that simply because we're not wired like men. Now, of course, you do have those women who, you know, they want to have sex all the time. But for the most part, it's even been scientifically shown that women, when it comes to sex and the need for sex, we're just not as, you know, high peaked as men, if that's a way to put it. So, you know, a lot of times, if you're, you know, I know from us, there are times when I'm really not in the mood at all, but I want to satisfy my husband. I want to satisfy you, you know? So, you know, I do it, but it's not because I always want to, and it can be a little draining, but I will say that you know, when you were just talking about the scripture, as far as, like, you know, selfishness, I think also that can go both ways, because I feel like it says, you know, put in, your body is not yours, you know? So I think that sometimes for a man, say, like, you're in the mood and you really want it because that's what you feel in your body. It could also, you know, mean, well, okay, yes, I know this is what you want, But just, you know, relax. And if your wife is not necessarily in the mood for it, or it's uncomfortable or something, well, of course it's uncomfortable, but if, you know, she's not necessarily in the mood for it, or she had a long day, just, you know, maybe take a rain check. But yes, I do agree that it has to go both ways. And as women, we can't always use excuse like, oh, well, we're tired, or, you know, we're just not in the mood. Sometimes you just gotta suck it up and, you know, please your husband. And I know for me, a lot of times, like, I pray specifically for God to give me a desire for my husband, you know, so that I can meet his needs whenever he wants it, so that we can both desire it, you know, for the most part together at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from a male standpoint, from the standpoint of the husband, you know, like you alluded to before, you know, because if I'm pretty sure a lot of the time you're going to want it quite frequently, you know, and I make the effort to suppress that animal beastly instinct in me, you know, that wants it all the time, you know,
to pounce on me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to suppress myself, you know, because I understand you have a lot going on, you know, and I want you to be able to relax. I don't want you to feel like you have to perform all the time, you know. Sometimes, you know, yeah, you go and perform, but, you know, I give you your breaks, and, you know, I just try to stay in tune with you. You know, there's going to be times when I want it and you don't, but I try to, you know, pay attention to you and learn you and, you know, just
yeah, I think you do really, like, over the years you have grown to do really good in that area.
Yeah.
I felt, you know, amazing. We're just aligning with sometimes my difficulties.
Yeah, it makes, you know, it makes the intimacy better, you know, because I don't want you to just mm-hmm. be doing it out of, you know, I'm not trying to force you to do anything, you know. I want you to want it and have a desire for me, you know, not just to perform, you know. You're not just here to perform mm-hmm. for me, you know. I want it to be a mutual act of, you know, pleasure and enjoyment.
Yeah. And for us, okay, we're speaking from our experience. Well, we know there are trillions of scenarios, trillions of things that can play, you know, come to play when it comes to sex in a relationship. But, you know, when you start adding kids to the mix, like, you know, our situation, me with having multiple pregnancies back to back, it starts to take a strain on a woman's body. So it can cause some other issues, you know. So I think that's really when you really need to be in prayer and, you know, combat and whatever is the enemy, because that's another way the enemy works. You know, he's definitely trying to, you know, go after that area in your marriage. So you just really need to be in prayer, combating any attacks that the enemy is trying to bring upon your body and hinder you from being able to enjoy sex with your husband or your spouse, or, you know, vice versa. Men could be dealing with some physical issues or even emotional issues couples might deal with, you know, spouses might deal with, that's hindering them from being able to enjoy their sex life. So, yes, yeah, it's a number of things.
Yeah. And, you know, also, you know, it's important to exercise and eat right and take care of yourself, you know, because those things play a major role in sex drive and energy levels and libido. You know, those are some major, you know, as they may seem small, but those things can make a big difference. So it's, you know, it's a major thing to keep yourself in good health and have a healthy diet.
Definitely. Because I know, like, if you're tired, you're not going to be, you know, definitely you're not going to be trying to be enjoying or even have thinking about sex. If you're tired, if you run down, if your organs are not functioning properly, your digestive system is slow, it's just gonna, you know, take a toll on your life in all different kind of areas. So it's good to, yes, like Jason said, maintain a healthy diet, exercise. I know it's easier said than done, but, you know, I think we're doing pretty good with making changes in those areas.
Yep, definitely. It is beneficial, you know, in various areas, not just sex, mm-hmm. but in everything. You know, if you feel better, you perform better just throughout your daily routines and responsibilities.
Yep. But I mean, I think that was a great discussion. We really appreciate you all joining us and tuning in with us. And feel free to give us some feedback, what you guys think, and some other topics that you all might be interested in us discussing.
Yeah. And as you know, as a recap, communication is the key. As with a lot of things, you know, communicate, open, you know, open and honest communication, but do it in a don't do it out of frustration. So don't wait till it builds up and you're just so frustrated to the point where you just blurt it out or it comes out in a negative, angry, frustrated manner. You know, open and honest communication is the key. And men, stay away from the porn because it'll taint your image. I mean, taint the way that you view women and also taint your mind and taint your just their expectations.
Definitely. And also, I wanted to add, you know, remember selflessness is another major important key. And of course, you know, it goes without saying, having God in the midst, like putting him first in your marriage. Like once you do that, his glory trickles over into all aspects of your marriage.
Yeah,
all
definitely.
Corners, all, you know, crevices of your marriage. Like seriously, it really does.
Yeah, it does.
He, like, none of this that we're saying would even be, it wouldn't be anything unless you are, what is the word? Grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, have a solid foundation in him.
Yep. Yep. That's right.
But yep. So thank you guys. We love y'all. And, you know, stay tuned for our next episode of More Raw Matrimony.
Peace.